Kimber said in the back, even if you showed me his full face, I wouldn't know who he was. Have I met him?
Who?
Don't be coy. I feel like a father. Is this anybody I know, Sarah? Who's this Chad you're going out with tonight? Not really Chad.
I don't you don't know him.
I have not met him.
No.
All right. Well, you can show me his face then, because I won't know him.
All right. Well, I'm going to find it. Hang on.
Okay. Because I don't know who it is. And we already said, you were asking me earlier not to reveal who he is. But the thing is, I don't know him. So I couldn't reveal his identity if I tried. His name isn't on the MySpace thing, is it?
I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. See, so I wouldn't even, I have no idea. I don't know what he is, what he looks like, what he does, where he lives. I don't know how you know him. None at all. I have no information about this guy.
And you will have none.
Tonight's date.
Okay. Shush.
What? Shush. I'm just saying. Now, 6 o'clock. Now, do you know where you're going to dinner? Has it already been determined? You don't have to say where. But
yes.
Has it been determined?
Yes.
Now, is this... Now,
I think you should play the seagull sound effect, because it sounds very romantic.
I'm
as we're describing this.
You should go to Tim. We're in the middle of his soundpipe.
Hold on. Wait, no. Oh, and listen to this. Scotty, so you actually brought this one in, Sarah. Look at you.
What did I bring?
Sarah. So, now is this a... Sarah
Love in the Hawthorne.
Is this a Sarah gotta eat date, or is this a, like, he actually is a nice guy date? This isn't sort of like he's willing to buy me dinner.
No, no. I mean, this is somebody that I'm... Okay, you need to... That needs to go down. No, it's nothing. It's just it's a thing.
No, it's not
he's
nothing.
A thing.
He's just a thing. He's a piece of meat.
Just a no. Hanging chat.
Service me!
No, he's a very nice boy.
Uh-huh. That seems likely. So, now the... So, but this is the first. Now, is it a real date? Is it an actual date?
I don't know. I don't know. It's all kind of weird, because we've been... pseudo friends for a while now.
For more than 2 years?
Yeah, I've known him for a while.
Now, we kind of talked about this earlier, but I was trying to figure now, I don't
Maybe
know
this
who
is
this...
We're both hungry at the same time.
I...
Rendezvous.
Chad gotta eat! Now, we were talking about this before. Now, I don't know who he is, and this, which is fine, but I was trying to determine what level of friend he is, because it seems like dating a friend is a bad idea. Now, but you said sort of like, and this is just a comparison, you said sort of like Kristen from accounting, somebody that you know you spend a lot of time with, but it's not like a hangout every day.
No, I think Kristen's a better friend than, like, Kristen and I keep in touch.
So
it wasn't really a keep in touch kind of friend, like someone
know?
That you see out and about.
Okay, is he a friend on the level of, I'm trying to think of somebody here. Is he a friend on the level of, let's say, our man Boba Fett?
A little bit better of a friend.
Okay.
I mean, because I don't know Boba Fett.
You don't like hang all
yeah.
the time. Okay.
Well,
all right, but
it's somewhere between
the two. Okay, but I mean, but have you been to his house?
No.
Has he ever been to your house?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever, you've drunk before? You've gone drinking before with this guy?
Not specifically out with him.
Have you ever kissed him?
Oh.
Of course.
Move forward.
I heard...
Okay, let's not talk about this.
Okay, so that's a yes.
No.
Hmm? Little kiss. Little peck on the cheek. Are your ears made out of, your ears? Are your earrings made out of bone? Are those
no, these
bone
are some
patterns?
Of my Ghetto Fabulous 82nd Powell
Jesus,
earrings.
I swear to God, it's like someone's finger bone has been curved into an earring. All right, so...
So we need to stop asking me questions about this.
Okay,
you're
well,
not
I
supposed to ask questions like that.
I won't ask any more questions.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, now, but this is an actual date. This is not...
It's not an actual... We're just having dinner.
Who asked who?
He asked me.
Then it's an actual date.
It is not.
If you'd asked him, guys...
Will a bottle of wine be ordered?
That's true. Are you at a place, really? Is that true, Scotty? That's what I suspected, too.
What?
Well, I asked if you'd kissed him, and then you wouldn't answer, but my answer
Rick
has been
Emerson?
Confirmed.
Okay.
Okay, so now, are you a place where you see the menu before, or do you pay before or after the food? At this place that you're eating tonight. Is it a sit-down, then order, then you eat, then the bill?
You pay after the food.
You pay after the food. Oh. Cloth napkins?
Yes.
Is there ample room for the foxtrot?
Live music at this place?
Not that I recollect.
Wine?
I'm sure they serve wine.
Is it a beer date or a wine date, would you say, at this point?
I would say... Probably a wine.
This is totally a date. How can you delude yourself?
It is not.
Are these deep booths ensuring the maximum privacy?
It's friends who are just...
It's like friends.
Friends who are ordering wine together at nights at dinner. One of whom is a single man, one of whom is a single woman, and he asked you out? It's a full-on date.
It wasn't an ask-out. It was like we should go out to eat sometime.
What, oh, yeah. Yeah, that's at no point is that a... that's not at all a real thing. That's like the... That's like three steps beyond the... Do you want to get coffee sometime? Which is like the, you know, shall we shag? Which is what that is.
By the way, if he's listening, I'm really sorry about that.
He's not... He doesn't even know who he is. We haven't even... Well, I guess he does because he knows you're going out at 6.
He's listening right now.
I'm saying...
To hear what's being discussed of him.
I'm saying that 6 o'clock is almost more of a date than like 10 p.m. Because 10 p.m. is almost like see a band, go to a show. Hang out with your friends, whatever.
If you're in your 40s, you're sleeping.
And at 10 o'clock, it almost implies like there's going to be a whole lot more people there. And so it's not like just a, forgive the term, an intimate thing.
We're just
never going to eat.
We're eating.
Okay, but you're eating together at a place that serves wine where they bring you the bill afterward. There's lots of places to eat.
This is entrapment.
It's not entrapment. I'm curious. Look, Rick Emerson just wants to see you spread your wings and grow and blossom as a human being. That's all I'm saying. And also because... Now, here's the thing. Now, does he know how do we put this? The kind of bad breakup, the tumultuous, not to go into gory detail, but he knows it kind of ended badly.
Yes.
With the last guy. All right. Now, see, does he now...
And he knows the other guy.
All right. Oh, really?
But they're
Is he friends with the other guy?
No, I wouldn't say friends.
He was...
Well, they're not now.
He was waiting in the background like a salivating wolf.
That's...
That is not the case.
I wasn't going to say that.
No. This guy.
Oh, no, I'm so much. No, I'm just going to add a little excitement to an otherwise boring story. I don't know if that's a problem.
No, thank you for stepping
in. Speculating.
This guy doesn't have any problem with the ladies.
What does that mean? Like he's some kind of player?
No. I don't think so.
All right. So now. Okay.
I'm just saying that I know people that find him attractive.
You know people who find him attractive.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going out for dinner at a place that serves wine at 6 p.m. with a guy with
they
whom
they also
you,
serve beer and like hard liquor.
With a guy that you've already with a guy with whom you've already made out.
I did not say make out.
Okay, but I've had that confirmed from an independent source.
Oh,
you have in
whatever.
Fact made out from him.
No.
This email boils it all down. What kind of underwear date is it, Rick? And I'm not going to ask that question because that would be improper. I'm only going to say that. No, here's the only reason I ask. The only reason I ask is it just seems like unless he knows that he could be Mr. Rebound, Mr. Transitional, Mr. Right Now.
He's wearing flannel boxer shorts.
This is just a person who I enjoy his company, and we're just going to have dinner together.
Okay, you think that because you're a girl. That's what this has turned into a Jolie thing. I know,
really
but that's,
don't. I really don't think in his mind that he thinks this
on,
is going
come
somewhere.
Well, maybe he doesn't. He might not think that it's leading to you're walking down the aisle together, and then you're going to move to the Isle of Wight and raise puppies.
He's got Beaverton on the brain.
Come on. Well, that's partially true.
they have a very fine school system there, you know.
Yeah. I'm just saying, dating a friend is just weird.
No,
I'm just saying, dating a friend is
It's not
going
to lead to anything. It's just going out to dinner. Together.
So he has
I
no
hope
shot.
It leads to dessert.
It's not going to lead to anything. So he has no shot? Does he know that? Does he know he has no shot?
When I've discussed them, I've discussed with him that I'm not a promiscuous girl. Like I don't sleep with
go around.
Yeah,
you're not. you're not fast.
I mean, I know that he knows that.
So you are not a. You're 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 not a first, second.
Yeah, in fact, I've been told by my friends I'm kind of a prude.
Well, that's fine. The Rick, we don't pass any judgment here.
No.
There's advantages to to that. Mm-hmm. All right, so you. Well, all right, then. That's a little tricky in and of itself, though, because if he knows.
That you're a prune.
That's later. Oh. That's old spinster Sarah. That's crazy Aunt Sarah, who never did settle down.
I am. That's what. Yes, and that's why I have no hope for the future.
80 years
My
old.
My knitting needles are bent. Has anyone seen the cat?
Seriously. 80 years old, big plastic earrings that look like shower
People
curtains.
Already
what time
call
is Pat Robertson on?
Lots of lipstick.
They already call me crazy Auntie Sarah.
Huge plastic
I'm totally
handbag.
Destined for. See, and that's why I have
Eaten
no
by
fear
dogs.
For tonight, because I'm destined for a life of solitude with like five dogs and a bunch of lipstick.
Are you sure you don't want the number for my therapist?
Most women do stay single now, you know.
It's true. And then we'll move on, because I'm just saying, listeners want to know if Sarah washed her hair.
I did wash my hair. What?
Yeah. You washed. I know what it takes to get you to wash that hair.
Okay.
Okay, my final observation is this. I'm just saying, it's a little tricky, though, because if he's a friend of whatever degree, if he knows that you are not a... what I used to say in Laverne and Shirley, if he knows you're not an easy mark, then maybe that's almost a little more troubling, because then it means maybe he's...
There's nothing troubling about it, and stop trying to make it drama-filled.
I'm not trying to make it drama-filled. I'm just saying maybe he wants more of an emotional... maybe he does...
He went through his own thing.
All right, so you're two... so is he recently broken up?
I don't know how recently.
Okay.
Sometime within the past... couple of years he had. I don't want to give away too much.
Okay.
So I think I've just enjoyed hanging out with him, and now instead of going out and drinking together, we're going to go out to dinner.
Okay.
That seems civil.
Okay. No. I have the most. No. You don't know. It's nothing about you. I just have the most brilliant idea. All right. It has nothing to do. It has something to do with you, but it's nothing that will embarrass you.
A mascot.
Trust me. No. Trust me. This is nothing.
Okay.
No.
Somebody dressed up in a mascot.
I just got a great idea. Now we'll get to it in a few. Ladies and gentlemen, shall we pay a visit to the Ministry of Truth?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the city has decided to charge $4 on those new tram rides. They held a meeting, but already made up their minds anyway.
Is this government on, people will do? Jibbity Jibbity and Chemeketa Chemeketa?
Fred and Ethel, or whatever those things he called.
Wackada Wackada.
There are a couple of them. So the transportation people says, let's face it, this is going to be a tourist attraction. It'll make OHSU the Disneyland of Oregon.
Of course,
because
I can't
we have those things.
I can't wait to go there. All I need
$4.
Hallucinate and see spiders everywhere.
So that's that.
Right.
So they asked for public input, but they already knew what they wanted to charge.
Yeah.
Ain't that like the government. So let's talk about spanking, shall we?
Let's talk about spanking, baby.
How to discipline your child has long been a discussion between scholars and parents. We're back to B again. A new study shows many timeouts instead of spanking may be a better form of punishment. Dr. Michael Manos.
No.
Yes.
No.
Dr. Michael Manos is a Cleveland Clinic.
Wow. It's great. I know, it's like four levels.
You're really hitting the jackpot here.
Oh, my God.
He's a Cleveland Clinic pediatric psychologist.
No. Stop. Hold on.
This is spanking.
No.
From Dr. Michael Manos.
Stop, I beg of you.
We promise not to laugh anymore.
Stop.
And I haven't. Well, that's something else entirely.
Well, promise broken. You're a bad person. Stop it. Be serious. This.
Your cat has just died.
But
I'm trying to get you. I'm trying to get you to be serious.
All right. Okay. Stop. Okay, first of all, there's like three great things at once. Are you telling me that a guy who's here to talk about spanking is really named Manos?
Yes, I am.
Everybody, I mean, you know why that's funny. Everybody knows why that's funny. Manos, hands of fate. All right. And
you have to explain it to somebody like Scotty. He wouldn't know.
Scotty, do you know why that's funny? How does he spell his name? Manos?
Mm-hmm.
Scotty, do you know why that's funny? He's talking about spanking, and his last name is spelled Manos. No, not like mayonnaise.
See, he does his own gardening, that's why.
Scotty's having mayonnaise.
No.
What is mayonnaise?
Mayonnaise?
Oh, mayonnaise.
No.
He
probably hasn't heard the language spoken publicly. No.
Manos is Spanish for hands.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, and he's from where?
The Cleveland Clinic.
All right. He's saying what?
Well, he says corporal punishment, like hitting, has many negative side effects and rarely helps.
It models aggressive behavior.
No.
And most importantly, spanking as punishment never teaches new behavior. It only tells a child what not to do, but doesn't teach what to do in its place.
Well, I bet he doesn't even have any children. How dare he be talking like that?
Mm-hmm. It's probably like Nancy Pelosi.
Seriously, in San Francisco values.
Mm-hmm.
People need to hitch up my pants a lot.
All right. Dr. Manos, a Cleveland Clinic pediatric psychologist, says timeouts are more effective than spanking for a reason.
Timeout allows a child to go off by himself and get himself under control. It is the opportunity for the child to self-manage behavior, which is what we all want our children to do.
You know, as much as I'm not a spanking kind of guy, that guy just irritates me. You can just hear the cardigan coming through the microphone somehow. All right, well, there you go. The funniest part is that his name is Manos. And he's from the Cleveland Clinic. All right, there you go.
Well, it's time to reboot Abe for more things that irritate you.
I can't. I can't wait to reboot A. Hold on a second. And bam! All right.
Well, John Kerry, as we said last hour, will not make a second bid for the White House. The Democrat made the announcement at the end of the speech on a Senate floor concerning Iraq. Who knew he even spoke? He recalled his failed bid to defeat the president in the last election in making his announcement.
Wizard should know better.
There are powerful reasons to want to continue that fight now. But I've concluded this isn't the time for me to mount a presidential campaign.
Mount.
It is the time to put my energy to work as part of the majority in the Senate.
Oh, I can feel that energy building right now. He's nothing but a vibrating ball of spunk is what he is.
Well, please outline what you'll do instead of taking another shot at becoming president.
It is the time to put my energy to work as part of the majority in the Senate, to do all I can to end this war and strengthen our security and our ability to fight the real war on terror.
Okay.
With his voice quivering with emotion. For the first time ever. He talked about his concerns about decisions the Bush administration might make in the final years of his presidency.
The fact is that what happens here in the next 2 years may irrevocably shape or terribly distort the administration of whichever candidate is next elected president.
What do we think, fake or not?
That was a lot of emotion.
Really, you think?
I really felt it.
I think he was real.
All right.
The fact is,
I can see that.
What happens here in the next 2 years may irrevocably shape or terribly distort the administration of whichever candidate is next elected president.
He seemed that was warm and fuzzy.
That is one of his downfalls, I think. Maybe he is just a little too emotional.
He needs to go on Oprah. Too late for Oprah.
Well, he seems like a guy that has like a little whatever, like a little acorn-sized core of idealistic emotion inside of him, buried somewhere. But it's just like beneath, like layers and layers of crap that you can't ever get to. You know what I mean? As opposed to like Howard Dean, who's just one huge nerve ending all the time. It's just, Howard, what are you? You know, and it just, I was just asking about lunch. You know, there's just nothing, you can't get anywhere with that guy. And John Kerry's just been in office so long, there's just sort of this, like, this institutional petrification that sets in, where you just, he just talks like a politician. That's the problem with John Kerry.
Push the button to hear John Kerry speak.
I want to be big. Okay.
Like the talking tree.
Exactly.
Exactly like the talking tree.
In every way, it's like a talking tree. Let's do one more, then we'll break, we'll come back, do a little more news, then we'll do the top five.
Well, the quote of the day comes from Brad Pitt, who says, "Strippers changed my life."
Yeah.
He tells Newsweek that one of his first jobs was to drive strippers to bachelor parties. He said he would catch their clothes and collect the money. One of the strippers was also taking an acting class. Pitt said he went to the class to check out. And it set him on the path where he is today, so he thanked the stripper for that.
Thank you, strippers. Thank you, strippers everywhere.
Everyone has a stripper story, and that's it.
It's true. All right, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's take a break here. We'll come back more of Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J, and the top five cheap trick songs that are not Surrender. It all begins around the corner. You stay there. It is the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program.
What?
Don't ask. Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answer to. I just read an email from somebody. All right. Anyway. You don't want to know.
Okay.
Anyway, it's nothing bad. It's nothing bad. I'll read it. You want me to read it?
Okay.
It's from one of your exes. Not recent.
Okay.
It's from Justin. Justin says, about Sarah being approved.
Oh, God.
That's what I'm saying. The subject line was a prude, and it's from Justin, who we love. One of your, an ex, someone you dated. Is it really possible to consider a girl who won a makeout contest in college a prude?
Oh, my God. You bastard.
Who are you talking to?
Justin.
Yeah, Justin, you jerk. How dare you?
Well,
I'm appalled. Have you no
I'm not
respect?
Saying I haven't kissed a lot of boys. What I'm saying is I
you know, it doesn't go beyond groping usually.
Yeah.
You're more of a third base kind of a girl. I'm sorry.
No, like
just,
a first base.
I'm just being a dick.
I know. You are.
All right. I couldn't. I just got it. I'm like.
I won $40.
And it, I got. What? Okay. You have to tell the story now. Not for me. For the children. And the children's children. I'll let you tell it, and here's why I'm going to let you tell it, so that I don't dwell, and so that it's sweet, short, to the point, but we can't shortchange the audience this way. Makeout contest, college, Sarah, go.
All right, well, I had this group of girlfriends in college, and we were all single, and none of us were really looking for relationships, and so we would have contests where we'd each put in, like, $5, and see who could make out with them, make out just being, you know, like, kissing. Kiss the most guys in a week.
Come on!
And I won.
How? Okay, now how?
I'm not going to say how many.
No. Well, okay, I wasn't even thinking that, but of course now I am. More in 1 week, 7 days?
Yeah. It was like a Friday to a Friday.
Friday to a Friday. More or fewer than 20?
Fewer.
Okay. Well, okay, well, that's all right then. Because a girl, you could get up into the hundreds, really, if you tried. I mean, just any girl, any girl.
It was very, I think we just kind of did it because it was very easy.
Yeah. Well, again, men, three-celled organism. Mm. What was I going to say before you short-circuited my brain by saying how many? Make out, kissing, girls, college. What was my other question that I was just, that I was desirous of knowing? La, 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 you won. Well, how much money did you win?
$40.
$40. I had some other question, but that must not be that important now. All right, well, there you go. Okay,
yeah, we're just college girls having fun.
It's what, no, and you know what?
And you know what? Men do it all the time.
Rick Emerson has no problem with that. Rick, men do whatever and get, unless you're Screech, in which case you're making it up, but men get together and men talk and men, you know, share war stories and whatever. And I, no problem. Rick Emerson passes no judgment. And, you know, there's no shame in that. All right, five, there you go.
Thank you, Justin.
You horny bastards. Well, because they would have hounded me forever, and you, forever, if you had not told that story. You can't just dangle that and then not tell
it. That was 5 years ago.
You won. That is impressive. You should put that in your resume. It's 503-733-2970. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. What the hell was I, I was doing a thing here. Well, I guess it's Tim.
I just want to thank you, Rick, for completely and thoroughly humiliating me today.
That's a mean thing to say.
I'm just trying to get better. I'm still sucking on a cough drop.
Take it back. I didn't humiliate. That's a mean thing.
You're bringing up embarrassing things.
That's not a mean. Now see, that's a mean thing to say, and that's not a term you should throw around lightly. The humiliating you on the air.
You're bringing up things where I have to answer questions that end up embarrassing me.
They're not embarrassing questions. I mean, there are questions that are a little awkward, but this whole show's a little awkward. I'm just saying, you don't want to.
It's just like these are the times that I forget that it's not just you, me, and Tim in a room, and we start talking, and then I'm going to see somebody out tonight, and they'll be like, "Hey, slut."
I'm just. It's fantastic. But
I'll give you $5.
How about if you hire someone to become your spokesman to answer all these questions?
You should get a pseudo Sarah. Mm-hmm. You should get a PR person who's in the studio, and I ask you, and then they refer questions to whoever.
You just pointed them. When you don't want to answer yourself.
Tom knows, this is Tom. Tom has the question that I was going to ask you, which is not a delicate question. But I'm just saying, now, that's a heavy word to throw around, the humiliation. Because that's, look, there are people who we really have humiliated.
I know, but that's
this show can hurt. This show can ruin lives.
Well, because I've never really been single on this show,
That's not true.
I was for a little while.
That's not true. You were single before you met Justin, and we chronicled all of that. And although you did end up breaking up, it was not a bad relationship.
No, not at all.
It just, you know, it went its own way, and it came to an end, as like a lot of things do. But it wasn't.
And Justin is now living with his girlfriend.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Everybody, and you know, you like him, he likes you. We're all one big happy family. His money is welcome at our poker games anytime. He emails embarrassing anecdotes about your college days. We all love each other.
Those are secret things you're supposed to keep.
I'm just saying. Like
perhaps they're in a separate file.
Like panty collections. So. No, I just know, don't, because you don't make me feel bad, because
so
I...
you're the Senku Kim of words.
I'm just saying, because I would never, because we would never really be mean to you. You know that. So, I would not, you're going to make me, I'm just saying, so you can't unring that bell if you really accuse me of that.
It's fine.
It's not fine.
Things have come out on the air today that I didn't necessarily think
would. I
wouldn't
say they're bad things, though. I would not say...
They're not bad things. They're human things. I'm human.
Human. All
human.
The only things that have come out today...
Made up of blood and flesh.
Can I give you my honest assessment of this?
Okay.
The only thing... The kissing contest, clearly, like everybody was aware of. Certainly the girls you were aware of knew about it. The college, certainly Justin was aware of it. It's not like, oh, you know, whatever. I mean, it really, have you listened to some of the people? Have you listened to some of the other radio programs that, like, this company itself puts on? Really, you're so far down on the scale of, like, embarrassing human behavior. I mean, it's really, it can't even be charted. And I was going to say, the only thing that I would say about this whole business of you and the date and the tonight, the only thing I would say that you could even find possibly embarrassing is the fact that I don't know, that it's kind of, you know, it's a little weird that it's just sort of, dating, single, and then going on a date again is always a little weird. I'm not saying it's bad, or that you're like, oh, I'm racked with nerves, but it's a little weird.
It's a date, but it's not a date. Like, I mean, because I know this person.
Right.
So it doesn't really feel like, I don't know.
So you're easing into it. But see, in a way, that can make it, that can either make it simpler or more complicated.
Exactly, because now there's, like, this weird pressure.
The pressure because of this or because you know
him? Because we've hung out, you know, like normally. I don't know. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Well, it's probably easier that you'll be drunk, though. Because that
I won't be drunk at the beginning of it.
Well, no, but I mean, by an hour in, it'll just go however it's going to go. And you'll see, water will seek its own level.
No, regardless, I have fun with this person, so it'll be fine.
All right. I'm just saying. All right.
Okay.
See, it wasn't awkward. Now that you've accused me of making it awkward, now it does feel awkward. Now we all have to get nude and hug. Tom, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Tom.
Hey, what's up?
What's up? This is, ask your question because it's exactly what I was wondering.
Well, in order to sleep tonight, I need to know how it was proven.
Yeah, how was the kissing contest proven? Was it honor?
The honor, well, I mean, because WSU was pretty small. Like, we all knew all the same people.
Did any of you make out with the same guys?
I believe so, yeah.
That is so hot. That is the hottest thing I've ever heard.
There were only so many to go around.
Fantastic. Bam! All right. Thank you, Tom.
You betcha.
All right, there you go. See, Tom taking a bullet. That's exactly what I was wondering.
But let me reiterate again, this was 5 years ago when I was a senior in college.
You make it sound like it was an eternity ago.
Well, 5 years is a long time.
5 years ago, Tim and I were in the same room doing the same thing. Well, not the same room. But
it was two firings ago.
It was. No, that's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the Ministry of Truth, then the top five. Here's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Excitement at a Gresham Motel after a man jumps out of a second-story window during eviction.
Fantastic.
So the hotel manager is trying to evict this non-paying climate, a tenant rather, who offered him a wad of cash after the motel manager took his gun that was on the nightstand. He knew it wasn't part of it wasn't part of like a remote control or a color TV that the motel would get.
Man, does that irritate you or what? When you go to a motel and they've chained that crap down and you can't try to use the remote control, and sometimes it's chained down.
I know. Every time I look for the gun, there isn't one.
It's right here next to the Bible. And sometimes it's the remote control that's not chained down. Mm-hmm. It's like mounted down and like on that swivelly thing.
Mm.
That makes me want to steal the remote control. When I go in and it's like been affixed to something so that I can't, that makes me want to steal it, you bastards.
So during this argument, the manager notices the gun inside the tenant's room. Thinking he was going to use it on, the manager grabs the gun. At that point, the tenant, fearing the manager would call the police, offered him a large sum of money. Well, he refused, and the man jumped out of the second-story window and drove off in a dark Honda.
Ran away with the spoon.
This man is described as white. Imagine that. In his early 20s, he's about 6'1". He stands 6'1" when he can stand properly, with short black hair. Police interviewed a woman who rented the room also, but she refused to provide any information.
All right. Well, cooperative is always. There you go. Ain't that American?
Exactly. Well, that's that. Then there are attacks on the Max at night, which is nothing new. Nobody should ride the Max. Attacks on the Max. Police are looking for a woman. This is woman-on-woman violence now, which is kind of rare. A woman attacked a 14-year-old girl with pepper spray when she got off a Max train in Beaverton, of all places. Beaverton. Linda Lambert and her friend were heading home on the Max from the Lloyd Center to Hillsboro Saturday night. According to Lambert, she absentmindedly looked around the train and out the window as they rode and noticed a woman looking at her. She started yelling at me, saying,
"Quit looking at me!"
Exactly.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just kind of
strange. So then she decides to switch trains when the woman passenger starts talking about having a knife and pepper spray. So the teens jump off on Millerton Way, which is in the safe suburbs, as we know them. Then she says she pushed me against a truck after she sprayed her in the eyes with pepper spray. Oh. Then the woman stole her backpack and ran off.
That's fantastic.
So this woman is also white. There seems to be some white crime thing going on here. The woman is white, in her 20s.
It's a brand new phenomenon.
5'5", with curly red hair, babbling incoherently to herself, so she could be around somewhere.
So she's a crazy-looking white person babbling incoherently to herself.
Saying that she has a knife and pepper spray. We know she has pepper spray.
She'll be easy to spot. There aren't 5 billion of those in Southeast.
What the hell was I saying here? I was going to make some... Oh,
well, also this. That whole, like, that, quit freaking looking at me! You know, that guy? That guy's ever... Am I the only one who does this? When I go into a convenience store... Where was I the other night? I was in a convenience store the other night, buying something or other.
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Close. I was at... I forget what it was. It might have even been today. God, the days all blend together for me.
So it was either yesterday or today.
It was either 3 weeks ago or just this morning. Mm-hmm. But no, I was in a convenience store. I don't want to say which one. I don't wish to disparage it. But I was at a convenience store buying one of their many fine products. And when you go into a convenience store and it's really, really, really late at night, do you assume that whenever anybody else walks into the convenience store, regardless of who they are or what they look like, there's like a 1 in 3 chance they've come to rob? Because I do. And I make it, and it doesn't matter, man. I'll be at the convenience store near my house, walking around. Well, okay, I'm going to buy myself some jerky and a bag of Famous and some Milwaukee's Best to go. And, you know, I just put it on the counter. Guy will walk in. And it, you know, and I immediately look at the ground. I don't make eye contact with anybody in a convenience store after midnight. Ever. 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 Why? No eye contact, no witness, no kill Rick. I will escape, perhaps unharmed, if he knows that I cannot identify him in a lineup or in a court of law. So anybody I see in a convenience store after midnight, I automatically assume that you are a criminal.
How do you know they're not assuming you are a criminal?
Well, maybe, you know what? And if they are, that's fine. It, live and let live, I say. No one look anybody else in the eye. Everyone look at the ground. No one can identify anybody. No one can snitch. Everybody goes home safe and alive. That's Rick Emerson's America. So there you go. That's a little thing that I do. And now you know a little bit more about the life of Rick. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, an intended target of an early morning home invasion in Florida.
Oh, damn you!
I hate you.
Well, he turned the tide on the robbers' plans when he shot one of the men. A second potential home invader escaped. Two men identifying themselves as Palm Bay police tried to get into a home at 2:37 in the morning by jiggling the front door. Two brothers and a 17-year-old woman were in the house. One of the brothers ran out the back to check on his car and confronted one of the would-be intruders.
Excellent.
The man hit him in the face with a flashlight. This is one of the would-be robbers who get hit by the flashlight. And then he screamed for his brother to help. So the brother shows up and shoots the man in the leg.
He shot. Now, this is a criminal he shot.
Yes.
Well, fantastic.
A bad guy.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Somebody trying to break into a house at 2:37 in the morning when they belong at a convenience store.
Excellent. Excellent. We haven't had one of those in Portland in a while. We haven't had one of those, the guy, cops shooting a guy who needed shooting. I've been waiting for those. I mean, for a while.
We've had a few.
We had a whole, not recently, though.
No.
Not since, what's his name, the kid, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed athlete who was clutching the knife in the suburbs. He's the last one, I think.
But I noticed something about the print media.
Mm-hmm.
When one of these incidents happen, they always take, like, their high school yearbook photo
instead of
the way they look today, which is nothing.
There's the way they look today is always like, I'm going to kill you and eat your bones. And, yeah, but the picture they always show is always, like, laid-back prep boy at leisure, like with an Abercrombie jacket.
Always a picture from the 1970s.
Totally, like, thrown over his shoulder. Like,
how dare they kill this man?
One eyebrow arched. Mm-hmm. And then with that second shadow photograph in the background of him in profile.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a clergy watch.
Then we'll do the top five.
Then we'll break them up, Jim Roop, then Suburban Perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your clergy watch.
Wow! Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. Because I got to have faith. I got to have faith. Because I got to have faith. I got to have faith.
Bridgeport, Connecticut. The former music director of a church where former President Bush once worshipped. Wait a minute. I thought he was from Texas. It says here in Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Now that's got to be a dirty pinko commie lie. He's a southerner.
Well, apparently he pled guilty to possessing child pornography.
Oh, not President Bush.
No. Music director of a church,
yes.
Robert F. Tate, who's 64 of Greenwich, admitted possessing between 150 and 300 pornographic images of children, some engage in sexually explicit conduct. Prosecutors said some children in the image were as young, or if not younger, than 12. Yes, Your Honor, I regret, but I did it. Said the man. Tate is a longtime music director of the Christ Church in Greenwich, where former President George H.W. Bush attended while growing up, before he became a Texan.
All right, now I was
funeral services for his parents were also held there.
Now, I was going to make an observation, but it's best not.
He faces up to 10 years in prison.
Oh man,
and a $250,000 fine.
Yeah. All right, I'm just going to leave it there. Just going to leave it there. I'm not going to make it. There was something I was going to say. Let me wait for just like 3 seconds.
Well, let's think about that.
Whether or not I should even say this. You know what? Here's the thing that is always really disturbing to me. About these clergy guys who get busted for having like a whole hard drive full of kiddie porn is, and again, I mean, word this very, I guess what I'm saying is, I think I speak for all of us in this room and presumably all the people we know when I say that I would have no idea like where one even goes for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not a thing they sell down on the corner. I would have no idea where you even go for that sort of thing if you're some weird, cracked up in the head clergy deviant. And so...
Well, I would suppose you would start at the church of your choice.
Yes. Apparently so.
Does that help?
CBS Radio wishes to distance itself from everything that airs on this program. Every single day. I'm just saying, and so what creeps me out about that is because that's something you don't acquire without a lot of help. That's a thing, when you have some guy, and I'm not talking about he's got some picture arrived in the spam one day and like he forgot to hit delete on it. Some guy, whole hard drive, he's got the Gary Glitter-sized hard drive full of kiddie porn. I mean, that's a hobby. That's a thing you put a lot of time into. And that's a thing that you acquired with the help of other people. And so that's why you always just... And I'm not saying...
Well, they only work on Sundays.
He's not... So he does have the other 6 days free. Mm-hmm. Not that he's been convicted or even accused, apparently, of anything else.
Except here.
That's the sort of a thing that... Except in the media. That's the sort of thing that you just know he has some circle of friends. And maybe they'll find out about that, and maybe they won't. But you know that that guy knows other, shall we say, like-minded individuals. I think that's the sort of circle, however perverse it is, that you have to be invited into.
It's in Rome.
So you know that that's like a 6 degrees of separation thing, man. But there's a whole bunch of guys who helped that guy acquire that collection of hideous child pornography. So F him.
Is he going to jail? Well, he will if convicted, yes.
If he's convicted of this crime...
He faces 10 years.
If it is found out that he's guilty, and of course he is presumed innocent at this point.
No, he has admitted.
Oh, no, he did it. Well, F him. Back to my previous statement. F him, and he's going to jail, and I hope he dies there painfully and alone. There you go. There's your clergy watch. Fantastic.
Because I
got to
have faith.
I
got to
have faith.
Why?
Okay. I got to have
Why would someone send me an email, this is a listener, by the way, in which the subject line is Kirk Douglas Nazi sex? That just doesn't make any sense. It's 503-733-2970. What are we doing here? Is this Patrick? Patrice? Patrick. Patrick, hello.
Yeah, Patrick, yeah.
Hi.
Patrick.
Hello.
I was just calling to say that Bush was born, I believe, in Connecticut.
He was. Well,
we know that's.
He was born in Connecticut. Vacations in Maine. You know, lived in D.C. Not really a Texan in any way.
Correct.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Do you feel better having done so?
No. I'm sure you knew that already. I couldn't tell if it was sarcasm over the radio or not, though.
Wait, hold on. I'm making a smiley emoticon. And there you go, with the curly hat clown hair.
Have a good one.
Okay, you too. Thank you. That's Patrick. All right, there you go. Fantastic. It's 5 till... Do we have Rupert 205?
Oh, yes.
Why, damn
yes,
this clock.
Do.
Damn the internal ticking of this clock.
It's 5 to go before the hour of 2.
You're 55 minutes on it. No, that doesn't work if it's
30 years ago, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know how to do this now. All right. Oh, Sarah took my wave card away. Damn you, woman. All right. Well, should we break? Let's break. We'll come back. Headlines with Tim, Jim Roop, then the top 5. Then the Suburban Perspective.
Yes.
With Scotty J. Today, a very special installment of the Suburban Perspective. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.